Mother's Day, all you mothers, part of Connect Point family, or whoever's tuning in and watching this message here. Happy Mother's Day. What a beautiful day that in Spokane, Washington, God's blessed us with. And it always seems like it is sun shining on Mother's Day, and that's probably part of divine design of the Holy Ghost. To bless all you mothers, especially the mother that is in my house, my beautiful, beautiful wife. Hold the applause, please, until I'm done. And that would be her daughters that are clapping their hands at that word there. She is a fantastic mother. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see the growth of a woman, not just into being a woman of God, but into being a mother, but a mother that goes through all the stages of being a mother. And we're in that stage now where she's also full-time teacher and caretaker, still makes all their meals for them, and just amazing amount of work involved and care and love that's involved with being a good mother, a godly mother. So I appreciate my wife very much. And thankful for the two girls that are part of our family. Then my own mother in Sterling, Alaska, Alicia Glover, just a fantastic woman of God. Great example of what it looks like to be a mighty, mighty woman of God. And probably a lot of the inspiration of what I'm going to preach. And I'm going to preach. And I'm going to preach to you mothers. And I'm going to preach prophetic. And I won't keep you very long, but I want you to hear this word, and I believe that this is a prophecy to this church, at least to our mothers in Connect Point Church. So, book of Genesis, if you have your Bibles, chapter 8. Chapter 8 is where we're going to go. And I will read one passage while you're looking at Genesis from Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter. Verse number 12, and it says, "Now, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month." Somebody say that's today. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 15. "God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy son's wife with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, be fruitful, multiply upon the earth. Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him." Go ahead and be seated. One of the things about transition is transition itself. Change. When you're moving, let's say, according to the president, transition to greatness, I believe that'd be a great slogan for the church itself when it comes time to reassemble together, that we are transitioning to greatness. But you've got this group of people here that are in one phase coming into the ark, and then in the next phase they are moving out. But they're moving out into a brand new world. And so it's come into the ark, which is built with the material of the old world, and then come out of the ark, and you're leaving the old structure, and you're stepping into, literally, in Noah's case, a brand new world. And the Bible said that this ark, built by faith to the saving of Noah's household, that they are bringing into the ark with them 2x2 animals, male, female, of all the species that would be saved. They would gather together into this ark that was 450 feet long, had three different levels to it. And I don't know how it was ordered or structured inside of the ark. I just know that all the food that was needed was gathered inside of the ark. All those animals just came to Noah into the ark. And the Bible said that when it came time for Noah to come into the ark, verse 7 of chapter 7 says, "And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark." And then here comes the animals following. In verse 13, it names some names in the selfsame day. This is chapter 7 of Genesis. "Entered Noah, Shem," which means the name Ham, which doesn't mean Ham like we know it, "and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark." And here comes the beasts after their kind. So they went into this boat, the ark. The scripture says, Noah, then the boys of Noah's seed, his children, his three boys, then Noah's wife, and then the wives of Noah's sons, they went into the ark. One of the things I think is worthy of note is that there are no babies that are born on the ark in this year plus that they're in the ark. There's no babies that are born. There's no evidence that the female animals have ever been mothers. They will be in the new world, but there's no evidence yet that they have ever been mothers. And so perhaps the only real bona fide mother on the ark is Noah's wife. We know for a fact that Noah's wife's a mother with three sons. But the way they come into the boat is dad, the boys, then the wife, and the three daughter-in-laws. And there's a connection that is made there while there's no children that are being born, while the earth is being destroyed, the new world being created, and while they are literally in a holding pattern, that the father is with the sons and the mother is with the daughter-in-laws. Not her own children, of course, but the mother is with the daughter-in-laws, daddy is with his sons. And you can imagine during this time, this year, this process, that there is a mentorship, perhaps, in this order. I would think that dad's teaching the boys how to be dads, and the mom is teaching the daughter-in-laws how to be mothers, perhaps, because that order is given to us very clearly in this season that you're shut inside. I want there to be a clear fathering, and I want there to be mothering. Mothering not your own children, but mothering the future mothers and passing on to the three mothers that are going to populate the earth. You to pass on to them who you are, what it is to be a mother. Because Scripture tells us that Noah and his wife are done having children, and they've only got three sons there. Noah's literally the only one in the genealogy of Genesis 5 that has no daughters. He only has sons. And so they're done having babies at this point in time, but they're teaching the three sons and the three daughter-in-laws who are going to literally populate the world. I believe during this time, it's a time of instruction. It's a time of mentorship. And literally, it's the opportunity to mother, because there is nothing but your own children and their wives here on the ark for a year. No babies. No animals have babies. No humans have babies. But now it's getting time to shift. and you're shifting from the old structure called the ark into the brand new world created by the Almighty God. And it's interesting to me what signifies the shift. As they're getting closer to time to leave the boat, the Bible tells us that they have literally uncovered the mountaintops. The ark, in verse number 4 of chapter 8, in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, it is resting upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters are decreasing until the 10th month. And first day of the month, tops of the mountains were seen. Came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened up the window of the ark, sent forth a raven and went to and fro. And then the Bible said he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. I think that's very significant, because the scripture said, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. Notice there that the raven is sent out, but it specifies that this dove is a she. It's a her. This is a future mother in the new world. And Noah sends her out to view the world. Now, obviously, there's no conversation between the man Noah and the dove. This isn't a trained bird by any means, but for whatever reason, Noah sends out this dove that flies over to check out this new world to see if indeed the waters have been abated. And the scripture said she finds no place for her foot, so she comes back. And it's reminiscent here in this second creation. It's reminiscent of the Spirit of God as it brooded upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. The word, the Spirit of God moved, is the Spirit of God brooded like a bird would brood over her nest. And if you will, that Spirit moving upon the face of the waters is moving like an incubator. It's moving like a mama would over her nest. It's moving like a mama would move over her eggs before there's a breakthrough into new life and new creation. And so this mother bird sent out, maybe not a mother yet, but will be a mother in the new world. He sends the dove out, but there's no room for her foot. He waits and he sends her out again. And the Bible tells us this time, 7 days, and the dove came to him in the evening, and in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated. She brought back to Noah the sign of this new world. The first evidence of this new world is the olive leaf plucked off in her mouth, as she flies back to the ark in which she has nested for over a year. And she brings the emblem of anointing. That's what olive leaf is. It is literally the tree that produces the anointing oil that flows throughout the entire Bible. And she brings new, not just life, new anointing, but she brings it back to an old structure. And if you will, she's bringing nesting material into an old structure. She's been here for what, a year and something, and here she's bringing the stuff, the material by which you would make a nest, and she brings that material into an old structure. And that just isn't going to work for Noah, because a time for us to just bring new anointing, mother, into an old structure. That's not what God's looking for in the world. He is going to need apostolic mothers who go out, come back to old structures, that aren't afraid to go first into a new world and create new life in a new world. Not afraid to try out new anointing in a different place. We don't need mothers with a new anointing in an old structure. Bring it back to the ark. No, the Bible said that 7 days later, Noah sends her out again. And this time, she gets the message because the scripture said she does return. Tell me about that. She does not come back. She's an apostolic mother, if you will. That's what an apostolic is. An apostle, one that is sent out. And here goes a female bird waiting on her spouse, her other, her male, to come to her. But they're not going at the same time. This is a woman bold enough to leave where she's been comfortable and not come back, because the new world needs apostolic anointed mothers to create life in a new place. That's what I'm going to preach here for a little while, because the scripture then goes on to say it's time for the human beings to leave the ark. And Noah's wife is a mother, and she's been hanging with the sister-in-laws. And that's how they came into the boat. They came in, Noah, the three boys, then his wife, and the three daughter-in-laws. But look at here. The Bible said for this new world, we need a shift. Somebody said shift. We need a shift. Somebody said shift. We need apostolic mothers to turn into apostolic leaders. We need mothers who are used to preparing places for their children to step up there with their husbands into the same apostolic authority and the same apostolic anointing and go forth together. Not as I'm just a mother at the house, but I'm an anointed woman of God. I'm a world changer. I was made for a new world. Go forth, he said. Look what he says. Thou and thy wife. When he called them into the ark, he called them Noah and his sons, and then his wife and his daughter-in-laws. That's how they came in to an old structure. But here's how they're leaving. Noah and your wife. Not Noah and your sons. But I want your wife to be right next to you. She's no longer playing mother to daughter-in-laws. It's time for the daughter-in-laws to be mothers. And it's time for your wife to be right next to you as a head in this new world, as authority in this new world, not as a mother, as an apostolic anointed woman of God. I believe that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is calling for every mother when we leave this old structure. And you've been in lockdown for however long it is you've been in lockdown. When you gather back, it's no longer going to be God's will for there to be women bringing anointing into old structure. But it's time for there to be apostolic women who aren't afraid to step up there with their Noahs and say, all right, it's time for me to be a leader in this new world. It's time for me to be anointed. It's time for me to prosper in my prayer. It's time for the prophecies to come out of my mouth. It's time for the vision to be in my eyes. It's time for me and my husband to be at the same level of apostolic authority. I know there's a lot of Noahs that can't handle that, but we need some women that aren't afraid to step up to that, because God Almighty doesn't look at male or female. They're all one in Christ Jesus. No longer Jew, Greek, no longer male or female. We need some anointed women to break into this new world. Step right up there with your husband. Yeah. Look it. Bible says, verse 18, But Noah went forth. Then what? And his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. That's the same order they went in. But God changed the order. And he wants Noah and his wife than his sons and his son's wife. But even though they're called to leave different than they came in, the Bible said they go out the same way that they came in. I want somebody to understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ anoints the people of God, he does not look down for a beard, and then he doesn't look down for somebody with long hair and say, I'm going to anoint the one that's got a beard, and the one that's got long hair is going to be a good cook and keep a good house and be a good mother. But the Lord Jesus Christ looks down and he sees himself and he says, I'm anointing myself because this is my body. I see myself here. It doesn't matter male or female. It's my image. How destructive are we talking? When you think about something little like this, it's not little. Because the first words you're ever going to hear out of Noah's mouth is curse. Cursed Canaan is what Noah says. The first word out of his mouth in the scripture is cursed be Canaan. Why cursed be Canaan? Because the scripture says that Noah gets drunk by himself in his tent and he's uncovered. And he's uncovered in his own tent. And his son comes in by the name of Ham, looks upon him, something goes down there. He either disrespects him or otherwise, and he tells his brothers about it. And that results when Noah gets awakened and he realizes what's happened, he curses Ham's children. And my point is, why is Noah alone in his tent when the Bible called his wife to be right next to him when they left the ark? And if she was right next to him when they left the ark, Noah wouldn't be alone in the tent and there wouldn't be a curse coming out of his mouth because the woman would have been there with him. Let me tell you something, my friend. The difference between blessed and cursed is when women and men get together as joint heirs in the same thing, Abraham, and you look at your wife, Sarah, and you recognize you're joint heirs in this thing. There isn't one of you. There's got to be both of you for there to be a miraculous move of the glory of God. I think we need some apostolic women to step up with mouths full of prophecy and full of anointing. We don't need an anointing in an old nest. We need people to break out of the box and never go back. Women, God's calling you to step right up there and lead. To step right up there in the authority right next to Noah. I'm talking leading the world right next to Noah. But he's alone in his tent, uncovered. In his tent. That's called disobeying divine order when it's not the same going in as it is when you're breaking out. And don't tell me when we come back together it's not about the same thing as this right here, that we need people like that. Women of God. Like that. That's my word for you. And I've got a lot of things to go with it. But just stand with me because there's no point in going any further here in trying to prove what thus saith the word of the Lord here. That is exactly what thus saith the word of the Lord to every mother under the sound of my voice in Connect Point Church. That when you come back together and you join back together in the church and you break out of your box and you break out of your solitary confinement, as it were, I do not want you to bring new anointing to an old structure, but I want you to be released. I want you to be loosed. I want you to step up into the place of authority right next to your Noah, right next to the headship that God designed for the world, if you will, and be a leader in a new world, not a mother in an old system, but an apostolic leader in a new world. We need somebody like that dove to get out there before anybody and say, I'm setting up an anointed nest in a new world. I'm going out there first. I'm going to be the
breakthrough leader to anoint this new planet. Somebody in this building, somebody under the sound of my voice, hear this word from this preacher here on Mother's Day. You are loosed, woman of God. Be loosed. Step up to your place. Join up next to the authority in your life. The anointing of God's going to be loosed. I pray that you would prophesy when you get. I pray you prophesy right now. I pray you be loosed in the gifts of the Spirit right now. Let the glory of God be loosed in you right now, woman of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Mothers, be leaders, anointed leaders in this new world. Blessing of Almighty God rest upon you. Lift your hands in the air and say, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to fight back a little Holy Ghost in this building. But in the name of Jesus Christ, let the glory of Katundia Masetaraba Rina Masakondara Masata Rito Seto Marinda Yendorabasito Mandiosa Rato Kositara Moritan Ran. Be loosed, woman of God, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be loosed, I pray.